Solar Impulse in Big D with a new world's record. Sarah is introduced in the Senate, and Congress of the TSA, no knives on planes. This is Aero News for Friday, May 24th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. First today, an update on our story about the FAA demanding that EAA pay for staffing at AirVenture. Well, the FAA promised a statement to clear up the issue, and here it is. Quote, in light of sequestration, the FAA and EAA are having discussions about EAA reimbursement of the FAA's incremental cost for supporting AirVenture in Oshkosh, similar to the approach used earlier this year at the other major air show the FAA supports in Lakeland, Florida. End quote. Well, I'm sure glad they cleared that up. ANN continues to investigate this story as the EAA says it will unquestionably have to pay the FAA something. It's just not yet clear how much. Solar Impulse successfully landed in Dallas-Fort Worth on Thursday, May 23rd, completing the second and longest leg of the 2013 Across America mission and setting a new absolute world distance record in solar aviation, having traveled 832 nautical miles. The previous distance record was also established by Solar Impulse when Andre Borschberg flew 602 nautical miles from Switzerland to Spain in May of 2012. The record will now be submitted to the National Aeronautics Association before ultimately being forwarded and awarded by the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale. The flight originated on Wednesday, May 22nd, at Phoenix's Sky Harbor International Airport when Borschberg took off at 04:47 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, and then after 18 hours and 21 minutes in the air, he landed the Solar Impulse prototype at 0108 Central Daylight Time Thursday at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. This was the second of five legs that Bertrand Piccard and Andre Borschberg will alternately fly from California's Bay Area to New York City. Solar Impulse is organizing a number of events at Dallas-Fort Worth, including a public open house. The Friday public event sold out just a few hours after the opening when 1,200 people, including four local schools, had the opportunity to visit the airplane. Because of that great success, Solar Impulse and Dallas-Fort Worth teams worked to organize an additional open day, which will take place tomorrow, Saturday, May 25th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Bertrand Piccard will fly the Solar Impulse on to Lambert St. Louis International Airport for the third leg of this journey. The departure date will depend on weather conditions. The Small Aircraft Revitalization Act of 2013 has been introduced in the Senate. This is the Senate companion to House Resolution 1848, introduced by U.S. Representative Mike Pompeo, Republican of Kansas, and a bipartisan group of U.S. House members earlier this month. The Small Aircraft Revitalization Act of 2013 establishes a certain future date for the modernization and implementation of the FAA's small aircraft and parts certification process, a much-needed fix at a time when the average age of general aviation airplanes is close to 40. Under current regulations, the cost of investing in new equipment has for too long been restricted by outdated regulations. The bill directs the FAA to make changes proposed by the Aviation Rulemaking Committee, composed of aviation authorities and industry representatives from around the world, to remove those barriers limiting investments in new designs and to make available life-saving safety equipment for existing airplanes. GAMA, the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, said in a statement Thursday that it welcomes the bill. 145 members of Congress have signed a letter to prevent TSA from allowing certain short-bladed knives to be carried onto commercial airplanes. The letter says in plain language, quote, members of Congress are so opposed to this plan to put knives on planes, you could fill a 737 with all of them, end quote. The letter originated with Representatives Ed Markey, Democrat of Massachusetts, and Michael Grimm, Republican of New York, and is supported by the Coalition of Flight Attendant Unions. On March 5, 2013, TSA Administrator John Pistol announced his intention to remove certain knives from the prohibited items list. Flight attendants immediately mobilized, and soon the coalition to block the rule change included pilots, gate agents, air marshals, TSA officers, passengers, law enforcement officers, several airline CEOs, and the Airline Trade Association. Originally set for implementation on April 25th, Administrator Pistol delayed the rule change on April 23rd in order to, quote, incorporate the input from the Aviation Security Advisory Committee and continue training requirements nationwide, end quote. Pressure has continued to mount against the decision and is culminating this week as TSA stops accepting limited comments on the proposed rule change. An unspecified number of workers have been laid off at Cessna, according to a company statement. The move came Thursday, a month after the plane maker asked for voluntary retirements from both salaried and hourly workers. According to a report in the Wichita Eagle, the company said in a statement that it was implementing a plan announced April 29th. Both the company and the union had hoped that enough workers would accept retirement and make layoffs unnecessary, but that did not happen. Cessna says that the market for business jets continues to be soft, and it has not been building a backlog of orders despite some indications of an economic recovery and improved corporate profits. Textron CEO Scott Donnelly said in a conference call last month that the more typical situation has been, quote, you take an order for an aircraft and you deliver the aircraft, end quote. The retirement plan and subsequent layoffs are part of a strategy to align Cessna's workforce with its production and sales forecast. Cessna employs 8,200 people, with the majority of those working in Wichita. The partisan rancor that has permeated Capitol Hill over Benghazi, the IRS, and other issues was left at the door of the hearing room in which the Senate Commerce Committee considered the nomination of Charlotte, North Carolina Mayor Anthony Fox to become the next Secretary of Transportation. Air Transport World reports that Fox called the implementation of NextGen an exciting opportunity that enjoys broad support, while acknowledging challenges in getting the program fully funded. His nomination is expected to be quickly moved forward by the committee, and there is little opposition expected in the full Senate. When AeroNews continues, NTSB issues 6 new safety recommendations. Wings for Science is on the way home. And airmen soar to new heights without leaving the ground.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Friday, May 24th. I'm Glenn Moyer. The NTSB has issued 6 broad-reaching safety recommendations after 3 accidents in which airplanes collided with meteorological evaluation towers, or METs. In each of the accidents, which occurred between 2005 and 2011, the MET was unmarked and unlighted. All resulted in fatal injuries. In the 2011 case, the permit for the MET had expired more than a year before the accident occurred, but it had not been removed as stipulated by its permit. The board says that METs are often temporary structures and, at under 200 feet tall, are not required to be marked and lighted by the FAA. The board recommends that the FAA amend 14 Code of Federal Regulations, Part 77, to require that all meteorological evaluation towers be registered, marked, and, where feasible, lighted, and that the agency create and maintain a publicly accessible national database for the required registration of all meteorological evaluation towers. They further recommend that the American Wind Energy Association revise the Wind Energy Siting Handbook to clearly indicate the hazards that meteorological evaluation towers pose to low-altitude aviation operations and encourage voluntarily marking them to increase their visibility. A 1-year around-the-world flight aboard a Pipistrel Virus SW aircraft organized by Wings for Science in association with renowned universities and research institutes is progressing according to schedule, that according to a report out of Luxembourg, where the project is based. The project is supported by AOPA Luxembourg and many local AOPAs around the world. The flight originated from Luxembourg on June 1, 2012. It's due to arrive on June 17th this year in Le Bourget, France, during the 50th Paris Air Show. The purpose of the around-the-world flight is to offer an aerial capacity to science. The crew was last reported to be in Amman, Jordan, on their way back to Europe to meet the arrival deadline. A group of airmen with the Air Force 7 Summits team has reached the highest point in the world, Mount Everest, 29,035 feet high, just after 5 a.m. local time on May the 19th. The success marks the first time a team of military members from any nation has reached the highest point on all seven continents. The Seven Summits Challenge began 8 years ago as a means to honor the crew of a RAF 11, an Air Force Special Operations Command MC-130H Talon II, which crashed in Albania in March of 2005. A secondary mission for the team was promoting the Air Force's vision of risk management on or off duty. All members of the team were trained in risk management and used the principles in their day jobs as well as while mountaineering. And in that spirit of risk management, two members of the team were forced to turn back before the summit attempt with concerns over illness and frostbite. ANN congratulates the entire Seven Summits team. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.